ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of the California Angels and the city of Los Angeles, on the occasion of Her Majesty's royal visit, please welcome internationally renowned opera star Enrico Palazzo.
Yes, he's in the intensive care ward at Our Lady of the Worthless Miracle.
You should have been pulled in the front, but they have faith in you. You should have been pulled in the fifth, but they had faith in you. And you.
Hey, good evening, everybody. Welcome into the Fab Show, Sunday night fabulous fun fest. We do it every Sunday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, live and uncensored. Michael Govier, at MJ Govier, G-O-V-U-S Victor, I-E-R on Twitter, with Christopher Deary, at C Deary, 1999. Deary as in dearly beloved. Deary, what's going on? It's Sunday night. We're talking chaos, and we're trying to put it all back together for another week.
Fab chaos. I'm ready to roll, man.
It's a nightmare.
What's a nightmare?
Is there anything fun about baseball right now?
No, I got murdered in all my leagues this week.
It's just like, yeah, I look around at all my leagues and things are not going great right now. No. And last week it felt the same way, but I chilled back. I was like, all right, you know, I'm just kind of, you know. But now it seems like it's perpetuating itself a week later, and I'm starting to get concerned.
It's been a frustrating week for sure.
You know, if you have Giancarlo Stanton, you're having a great week. He's on a tear right now. He's crushing the ball harder than anybody else in Major League Baseball, and he has not been hurt. So it's been a great. You're already on your way to getting the return on investment, because he was going. Yeah, I remember I took him 165.
Okay.
This was in January though, so people were already like, "Oh, he'll be hurt for sure," and it's a different type of draft than the one you'll do in March, but. Yeah, that's been great returns for me, and that's like one of the only positives on that team, because I drafted Victor Reyes 197th.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, I mean, Stanton, the last 2 weeks, he had a nice little like 13-14 game hit streak going. He didn't really get another hit until today in the series that they had rolling, but he's been nice. You know, he's absolutely murdering the ball. He's batting near 300, and people will say it's a matter of time before he's hurt, but he's healthy right now. He's one of the few guys that are healthy. And then, you know, we had some postponed games today. So if you're in a head-to-head league, that may have fucked you a little bit. So, a lot going on.
That definitely did fuck me. Kenta Maeda not pitching. I pitched four guys today, three of them that did start, couldn't get a win. And then, of course, Maeda gets postponed. I needed one win out of four starts. Of course, nothing. Absolutely nothing. And that included Alcantara, Mike Minor. I mean, some decent starters, but that's how it goes, right? Relievers get the wins these days, not starters.
Yeah, it's been rough. I was lucky. I was able to pick up Nick Pivetta, got me a win. I was also able to pick up Herman, who did not get a win, but he got he went 6 1/3. He gave up a home run to Schwarber there in the seventh, but that's okay. He did what I needed to do, but it just wasn't enough in my head-to-head leagues. I'm losing in every one of them this week.
Well, what's up, everybody? Everybody's here. Ryan's here. Jasper Springer's in the house. Jasper's a new follower of the show this week. He lives right over in Indiana, Goshen, Indiana. Good to see you, my friends. What do you got for us? If you guys got questions, pop them in the live stream. We'll talk about them. What are your conundrums? Are you looking to pick up players? Are you looking to drop somebody? Is it time to make that move? Do it all right here, live in the comments, and we'll talk about it. And of course, you can follow the show, Plausible Podcast, 2 L's 2 Z's, on Twitter, Facebook, our YouTube channel,
Utah,
which you can always sub anytime you want, and we would love to have you aboard. That's where you get the most out of this show, you know, being live for this show more than the other two shows during the week on Wednesday and Friday. You need to have kind of more of a instant reaction and make these moves. Although if you have a daily league, you know, this won't be as pressing, but for those of you that are playing in weekly pickup leagues that kind of make moves on Sunday nights, this is definitely the show for you. But it's all actionable information. We're going to talk about team schedules, streamers, two-star pitchers, all that stuff right here. But just remember, it absolutely can happen. And people will go on the IL probably during this 55-minute podcast. And this song pretty much sums up how I feel right now.
Oh, that's gorgeous.
How I feel right now. Just endless, endless injuries.
Yeah, Yeah, especially in weekly leagues. It's been really, really frustrating in weekly leagues. And I go into my Sunday Fabs and I'm looking at my team. I'm like, man, I got like 9 guys hurt. Like, I can't hold on to all these guys either, especially when you don't have mega 50, you know, man rosters. If you got like a 30-man roster, you just can't hang on to these guys forever.
No, you cannot. That's true. But there is hope. There are people actually on the mend. Luke Voigt will probably be back. Could be back tomorrow. Worst case scenario, probably Tuesday. So that's good news. If you've been, obviously you drafted Luke Voigt, you weren't going to drop him unless you were in a really tight, shallow league, like a 10-team league. It's possible you would have let him go. But that's good news. Anthony Rendon's getting closer to coming back. So that's something to keep your eyes on. And some guys came back from the IL this weekend, including Chris Paddock today. He threw 3 innings. Didn't give up any earned runs, so that's good news. He had a little bit of a high whip, but that's okay. The fact that he goes 3 innings and doesn't give up any runs is a positive start, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think there is hope still, even though I was feeling a little bummed out. So I'm gonna try to be hopeful on the show and give you guys the positivity you're looking for here. Johnny Cueto and Yadi Molina also came back, so they're available. Yadi Molina was looking really good before he got hurt. He's an old man. He's 38 years old. He's a catcher, but he provided value, and I don't expect you'll get the same value you were getting from him, but in this chaos world where catchers are platooning more than ever and they're going on the IL, having someone like Molina, if he's healthy, could actually be a benefit.
He's been really good. I mean, it's amazing at his height and age. He may not give you what Buster Posey is giving you right now. Unbelievable. He's a top 10 player right now. Yeah,
he took a team.
The power's back. He hit just a missile to right field yesterday.
Yeah, but the power is down in MLB, so how come the power's back for him? What's going on?
Well, I mean, yeah, the power's down. It's mainly because no one's even putting the ball in play. It's just like strikeout after strikeout. What was really weird to me is Barrios goes against the Tigers yesterday. He didn't strike out anybody. He goes 6 innings, doesn't strike out anybody. The Tigers are going to like set a major league record for strikeouts. Barrios goes up against him. I'm like, man, we're talking 8-10 strikeouts. Struck out nobody.
Wow. Yeah, that's pretty bogus. That is very bogus, in fact. It is Cease Week, like Chaz Sample says here. Chaz, what's up? Chaz is all the way from Alaska. Good to have you here. We have Alaskan community members. Isn't that cool?
All across North America. We got Canada. We got Alaska. I mean, we got overseas, too. We got the Brits. We got the guy in Ireland the other day that you had on.
Yeah. Phil Goyette from Rotofanatic. Yeah. Yes. Phil Goyette. Check that show out if you missed it. It was a lot of fun.
This is a worldly game.
And Phil's from Michigan, so it was it was cool to gorgeous. He grew up in Michigan. He played lacrosse in Fenton, actually. So he played against Heartland and some of the lacrosse teams in the Kensington Valley Conference back in the day.
Up in the sticks.
That's right. That's right. Ryan says, I just discovered the new minor league team called the Trash Pandas. And I don't know if that's real or not.
It's real. It's been a couple of years. I think it's been 2 years they've been rolling with this team.
Holy shitballs. Wow. That is mind-blowing information.
These minor league team names are fun.
Yeah! I had no idea. The minor league's great. It's so great to have the minor leagues back. That's one positive. We should really... In fact, I'm actually more excited about minor league ball. I've been watching a lot more highlights and... It just feels good to have it back, and they're crushing the ball there. There's a lot of players that are – looks like they're playing with the old Major League Baseball. This is something I brought up yesterday.
Okay.
The minors did switch in 2019 to the Major League ball, at least in AAA, right? I remember that. It was a fact. That is a fact. But it looks like they've stuck with that ball, at least in AAA, because in Durham, Juan Franco's crushing the ball. C.J. Abrams is crushing the ball today. So there's a lot of fun excitement in the minor leagues. In case you get depressed about your major league team, you can always go. And then we have Tigers are about as depressing as it gets. So minor leagues are more fun. The Mudheads look amazing.
It's going to be fun because we're going to see a lot of these guys from the minors coming up here in the next 2-3 weeks to, you know, maybe early June, mid-June, which a lot of these teams are going to need these players with the injuries that are going on. It's crazy.
Oh, and Ryan verifies the Rocket City Trash Pandas, double A.
Rocket City. Where is Rocket City?
That's weird because Rocket from Guardians of the Galaxy is a trash panda. Weird.
That's funny. Yeah.
I wonder if they did that on purpose. At any rate, let's talk about who has the best schedules this week in terms of hitting and pitching. So first off, you always want to try to get 7 games out of your players if you can. This week, the Cincinnati Reds are a team that are popping up in a lot of articles because they're facing Pittsburgh for 3, And then they're off to Coors for four on a four-game weekend series against Colorado in Coors Field as summer is approaching. Cincinnati offense in Coors, that's a lock. I mean, you're playing all those guys all weekend long. Am I wrong?
You are not wrong.
I didn't think so. And then, of course, the Rockies themselves have seven games this week. They have San Diego for three and Cincinnati for four, like we said. And that's all at Coors. So that's seven games of Coors Field offense all week long. It's going to be good news for those Rocky bats. Not so great news for the pitching. Germán Márquez.
What did he do today? I didn't check in. I know he
actually threw a quality start today. He got back to basics after that disaster earlier in the week against the Giants where he gave up a billion runs and lasted only like two-thirds of an inning. It was awful. It was so awful. He killed. It was, what's his name? Does a great job on Twitter. He's been on the show before. And I'm in leagues with him. Matty Wood. Matty Wood. Follow Matty Wood on Twitter. He posts all the percentages that pitchers get played usually in main event leagues. And apparently, Germán Márquez was played in 100% of main event leagues, which is the biggest. It's on NFBC.com. For those of you that don't know, it's like the most. It costs $1,700 to get a team in, and the overall prize is like $150,000 for the overall champ. And in all the leagues, somebody started Germán Márquez on that awful start against the Giants. So.
I mean, this is what he does. He'll put together like two, three really good starts, and then he'll have a start where he'll just give up like nine runs. He's such a frustrating pitcher. He's got a lot of talent, but oh man, I think he's one in five right now.
Yeah, there was some accusations that he was not feeling well. Maybe I don't know if he got the COVID vaccine or what had happened, but he was like noticeably wiping his nose a lot on that start. I don't know if there was anything after the fact, but always keep in mind, sometimes bad things happen because people just aren't feeling well. It does happen. All right. Then the Houston Astros have seven games this week, three against the Angels, four against Texas. That's good news. That's all at home in Minute Maid Park. So if you're looking to stream hitters, you got the Reds, the Rockies, the Astros, those are all positives. And then as far as any other teams, you know, it becomes a little more murky after that. But the Yankees do have six games today, this week, and they're taking on three against Baltimore and three against Tampa. So
it's a late schedule tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be a boring one?
Yeah, real boring. So take the day off.
Good. It'll be a good day to get away from baseball on a Monday. It is Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to all those mothers out there, of course. Mothers! We're shouting all the mothers out there. There's a lot of them. Created a lot of you that are watching this show right now. Stan created, of course, me and Deary. Congratulations to our mothers. Well done. Thank you for that. You're right, Deary. Tomorrow we have 6 games on the schedule, and they're all evening affairs. So, yeah, it'll be a lighter, sparse day. If you're frustrated, do your fab bids. Get all your work done tonight. Take Monday off, just like Deary said. That's some good advice.
Take a day off to breathe.
Yeah, you know, let it just chill out. So, yeah, as far as hitter matchups, there you go. Those are the best of the bunch in terms of streamers. So let's talk starter, two-start pitchers first. This week, some of the two starts that are obvious and you're going to play, you'll play. So you don't need to question that. You know, Freddy Peralta, pretty much a must start. He's going up against St. Louis and Atlanta. Now, those are good offenses, but Freddy's been so good. What would you do there, Deary?
I'd probably start him. His last start was, I think he gave up 5 runs. I think it was on maybe Wednesday or Thursday, so he didn't look too hot that week. But he's been pretty good. If he can just stay away from the walks, I mean, he's a high strikeout guy, and Brewers are playing pretty good ball right now. So I'd say both those starts, he probably gives up 3 or less.
Wow. Well, the Cardinals have really been an outstanding offense this year. Everybody seems to be hitting in that lineup, and it looks like Arenado. You know, we haven't really talked about, like, hey, how has Arenado been since the trade? You know, people said that his offense would go down. People were less interested because he wasn't going to be hitting in cores anymore. But, you know, on the year, he's solid. But he's not, like, cores mind-blowing numbers. 5 home runs, 22 ribbies, 343 OBP. That's not, like, world beaters by any means. He's hitting 280. So he basically looks like a guy that left Coors and is not quite getting the benefit of Coors on the regular, but is still a good player.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he's probably putting up the numbers that most people thought he would. I mean, it's not going to be the batting 320 and hitting 45 bombs like you might do in Colorado, but he's been serviceable. He looks like he's on pace for 100 RBIs, 25 home runs.
Yep. No doubt about it. That's fair. Our buddy Jasper says, I sent an offer for Dylan Cease in a keeper league. See Paddock. I assume Cease for Paddock. I think I'd rather have Cease. I know maybe that's playing the favorite right now, but Cease looks like he's growing into a breakout possible season. And, well, I don't know, Paddock. What do you think of this, Deary? I'm really kind of torn on this.
There's so much inconsistency with Paddock. I mean, Dylan Cease's last two starts, no runs given up, 20 strikeouts. Great start against Cincinnati and also a good start against Detroit. So he's the hot name right now. I mean, Paddock has just been inconsistent. He had an awful year last year and, you know, came off that rookie year where he was phenomenal in the first half and then kind of fell apart in the second half. So I think I like Cease a little more. We got to see more consistency out of Paddock right now.
Yeah, I hate to play the favorite right now and be that guy, but right now, I think I would take Cease. He's got four pitches that he can use. He's got a better pitch mix. Paddock doesn't really seem to be developing a third pitch like we wanted him to, and the velo concerns have gone up and down. I know he was injured, so maybe he's got something to work out, but there's also been some stuff I've read about attitude issues with him and that he's just never going to change. And if that's the case, then you don't want a guy like Paddock on your keeper league team if he's not going to grow with you as a human along the ride for this wonderful experience of humanity.
Paddock's only pitched into the sixth inning once this year, and his strikeouts are way down. I mean, seven strikeouts last week against Milwaukee, or a couple weeks ago against Milwaukee because he was injured, but it's not looked very good. The strikeouts aren't there. He's given up a lot of hits and a lot of runs.
This is genius. Look at this. Ryan says breakout season. That's got to be a t-shirt. How is that not a t-shirt right now? Make sure you go to the White Sox Twitter, hit them up, breakout season, and make sure you trademark it first. Get your money's worth, Ryan. Well done. That's fucking great. That's perfect. Good one. We should make sure it's like that. Maybe we could. Can we do that? Or would the White Sox sue us? Can we talk about players that we don't have any relationship with? I don't know how that works. I don't know a lot about things. I really don't.
I've never been sued, so I don't know. Copyright infringement.
I got sued by my landlord in 1999 because we kind of fucked up the house and we owed more than the security deposit. So,
yeah, it's right around the time I was doing the same thing, 2000, 2001. You can't come back to this apartment. Okay.
One of our friends, I don't know why he did that. He decided to take one of those magic eight balls, break it, and then shake it all over the house. That stuff does not come out. Whatever the juice is in the magic eight balls, it doesn't come out of a carpet. It doesn't come out of anything.
You're not supposed to bust those open.
Well, he was depressed. I think he was having issues. I understand. But it really cost us. We lost that case, of course. All right, you're not here for lawsuits. You're here for the two-star pitchers. We covered Freddy Peralta. St. Louis and Atlanta, kind of a tall order, but Deary says he'd go for it. So there's Deary's 2 cents. I would be a little suspect, depending on if you're playing a head-to-head league or points league and how things are going. And if it's not weekly lineup settings, you know, maybe give him a shot against St. Louis at home in Miller Park. And if it doesn't go well, then maybe pull the plug. You have to do all this context-based adjustments along the way. But if it's a weekly league... I actually think I might sit him, but if pitching is so bad sometimes and you don't have it, and if you got injured players, you have no choice, then you got to do what you got to do.
Atlanta's a mystery too. They'll go like a doubleheader where they won't score any runs and then they'll put up like 11 runs the next game. So they're such a mystery to me.
It's true. That's true.
Oh, there was tons of panic last night. Did you see when Acuna got hit? I'm like, oh, here we go. DL's happening.
Oh yeah.
He's starting tonight.
He is. He's in the lineup right now, leading off, because that's what he does. He's been hit twice. He's been hit twice on like the wrist or the hand over the last 3 weeks, and he's not missed one game from the previous hit by pitch. But that's it. He's a miracle, man. He's incredible.
Yeah, I had to sit him today, and hopefully he does not put up the two RBIs I need to tie in my weekly head-to-head league.
No, it's already over. That you said congratulations, Mick Pivetta helped you out. I went against Mick Pivetta in my home league, and it cost me, so... Congratulations to GoFo, kicking my ass. And then he just traded. Check out this trade real quick. So he's beating my ass, and he looks to be one of the favorites this year to take down my home league. He's a former multi-time champ, but he hasn't won in about 6 years. He traded. This is head-to-head, 5x5 categories with OBP instead of average. And he gave up Liam Hendricks, closer for the White Sox, for Dylan Moore and Jorge Soler. What do you think of that?
I mean, so Hendricks has been weird. I think he has 6 saves on the year, but he's been giving up home runs. I think he's given up 3 home runs, and he's blown a couple save. Dylan Moore is starting to come around, but he's been absolutely atrocious this year. And Soler, the power just hasn't been there. I mean, people
2
are
home
expecting,
runs, last I checked.
Yeah, people are expecting 40 home runs again, and I stayed away from him. I traded Soler in the offseason. I wanted nothing to do with Dylan Moore. How's he looking with the rest of his bullpen? Is he okay without Hendricks?
Yeah, he had other closers because he beat me in saves this week, so he'll be fine. So he had the luxury of trading him. But I think what you're doing there is you're trading a closer in a head-to-head saves league, which has like varying value depending on week to week who you're going up against.
Yeah.
But Jorge Soler is not going to hit 2 home runs all year. So what he's doing is buying low. It's very, very smart. Dylan Moore buying low as well. To me, that's a great trade. That's how you win a league. You give up on a guy that's highly touted as a closer, but you get the guys that are struggling who are definitely going to return a positive investment for you down the road because they're not going to be this bad forever. They're just not.
Yeah, I mean, he picked up 2 bats. Dylan Moore does have 6 stolen bases. His walk rate is up. He's going to strike out a ton. That's going to happen. But he's not going to bat 152 all year. His BABIP's sitting at 200 right now. Like, that's going to boost up a little bit. I really like how the Mariners are playing. The Mariners are playing well. They're going to continue to give him every opportunity. He's got eligibility all over the field. And, you know, same thing with the Royals. Royals are in first place. There's no way Soler ends up hitting, like, 10, 12 home runs on the year. So, you know, if you can afford to give up Hendricks, you're getting 2 bats that should be able to help you out in several different categories. So it's a savvy move.
That one is long gone.
Alex wants to know, Tyler Molly has a 2-start week at Pittsburgh and Colorado, as we covered earlier in the show with their schedule. Still a must start in a 10-team roto league? Well, I mean, the first one for sure. And the second one, people have succeeded in Coors this year. They've made it happen.
Coors, the banquet beer.
They have succeeded in Coors with quality starts if they're good enough. John Gray's had a really solid season, actually, all year long. So, you know, the Rockies, they're not as formidable as you would think. They have the boost of Coors, but they strike out a ton and really are hit or miss. But they've had a recent offensive surge, so I'd be a little concerned.
Charlie Blackman's starting to come around a little bit for them after a really bad first month. And Tyler Molly has been incredible until his last start against the Cubs, where he gave up 6 runs. Before that, he was really, really impressive. His ERA was, I think, sitting at about 1.5 till he gave up 9 hits and 6 earned against the Cubs.
I think in a 10-team league, I would look elsewhere, to be honest with you. See if there's a better 2-start pitcher with better matchups. Because in 10-team leagues, you have that. I would think you have the option because there's just going to be a shallower pool of players that are on rosters.
There's got to be some good streams out there in a 10-person league.
Stream. That's a good song. We should do that. What about Alex Wood? Is he available in your 10-team league? He's got Texas and Pittsburgh this week. That sounds really juicy. Texas at home in San Francisco. I guarantee he throws a good start. And then at Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is feisty enough. You might be surprised if you actually look at their numbers, but it's still Pittsburgh. I would consider Kyle Gibson if he's available. He's going against San Francisco on the road and then at Houston. And Kyle Gibson's been incredible. He continues to just be the man.
We were wrong on this one.
Yeah. I wish we had picked him up in my tag team league a couple weeks ago. He would have really helped us out here. And we need pitching help bad. We are really struggling. Adbert Azalea is another one I'll give you. Adbert Azalea. I guarantee Azalea is available in your 10-team league. Because I picked him up in a 15-team league last week. So he's got Cleveland and Detroit this week. They're both on the road. Both on the road, but who cares where it's at? Because it's Cleveland and Detroit, 2 of the worst offenses I could think of.
Yeah, those offenses have been absolutely terrible. And Alizé's been pretty good his last few starts. It's kind of a rocky beginning, and a lot of people did like him. But last couple starts, only 2 earned runs in both those matchups. 7 Ks, 6 strikeouts. He pitched into the 6th and into the 5th against the Dodgers. So he's looked pretty good. Walks are down, starting to strike some guys out. So he's a guy who has been pretty consistent. I think people were kind of out early on. He had 2 kind of rough starts against Milwaukee to start. But his last 3 starts, pretty solid.
I think that's my guy. That's my play. That's my, like, hey, he's not the most obvious play, but he's been pretty damn good, and he might be available in a lot of different type of leagues. I think that's my play for the week, Adbert Azalea. He's been fantastic, and he's going to continue to be good. I think he's on his way. he's on his way. He's growing, and I like him a lot. So that's my call there. There's other options in different types of leagues, depending. Real quickly, Mad Bum. It's got Miami and Washington, both at home this week in Arizona. Nathan Eovaldi. He's got Oakland and the Angels at home in Boston. Brady Singer's got Detroit and then at Chicago, the White Sox. So, and Matthew Boyd will be back this week after he's skipped a turn of the rotation with knee tendonitis issues. He's got the Royals and the Cubs as of now, both at home. Any interest in Matthew Boyd, Royals and Cubs at home?
No.
No. Okay, great, cool.
All right, I mean, you're not going to, if it's a wins league, you're not going to get a win out of him, and I don't see him going, even if he does look healthy, going 6 or 7 in that first matchup against the Royals.
Chad Sample he's just continually asking about Luke Voit. He's got to know the truth. I drafted him with my 50th pick. Well, Chaz, the truth is Luke Voit is a badass, and if he's healthy, he's going to crush a shitload of home runs. So definitely don't drop him or anything. Play him. And then enjoy the return on investment because he's in a good lineup too. The Yankees they're starting to get things going, I feel like. They're picking it up a little bit. And Luke Voit, when he's healthy, man, what he did last year was, you know, crazy as fuck. Short-ass sample season. But he had 22 home runs in 60 games. But that's the kind of power he really has.
Well, the good news is he's coming back and pretty much everybody is healthy right now on that team. LeMahieu hasn't really lived up to his value. Gleyber Torres has been able to get on base, finally hit his first home run today, smashed one 415 feet, but Judge has been healthy, Stanton has been healthy, and you're going to slot Luke Voit like right in that lineup. Move Gary Sanchez way down that lineup because you don't need him anymore, so Voit is going to be a really, really nice addition for any teams that held on to him.
Well, Sanchez, it's over, man. I mean, he's just not playing. Higgy's playing 3-4 times a week now. How many times did Sanchez play this week? Like twice, maybe? I'll double check. But
he played today. He had two guys on. He was up to bat. He was really battling in this at bat. But the pitcher had made like 4 consecutive mistakes where there were fastballs right down the middle of the plate. And Sanchez was just following him off. But like these were balls that he should have been putting in the upper deck at Yankee Stadium. And then he ends up striking out on just like an inside pitch that was clearly a ball. It's strikeout or nothing. You can't even get home runs from him. He's got 3 home runs. So it's at a point where he's rotating with Higgy, but I think Higgy might end up getting all of the, you know, the play right now. And Higgy's a better defensive catcher as well.
Gary played 3 times this week.
Okay.
And they had a full week of games with Houston and Washington. So he's basically splitting time at best, but he did hit a home run on Friday night. So
it is only hit this week.
That is correct. Yes. He otherwise was 1-for-8. But he had a few walks in there, too. His OBP was rock solid. So his OBP is much higher than his average. So if you're in an OBP league, it's not as bad. But if he's not playing every day, he's not helping you. But there's also a billion catchers that are not playing or partly playing. Francisco Mejia went on the IL this weekend. So now Mike Zunino might get all the run in Tampa. You want to pick up Zunino. Think about that. Just a little random tidbit if you're looking for catcher help.
And that's a bat that's going to give you power. He's going to strike out and bat 210. But he's one of the few catchers that has like 20-plus home run power.
Alex says that Higashioka, also homeward off Scherzer, it's his job now. There's a declaration of fact. Wow. I like it, Alex. Bring in the heat. I will say, Scherzer did strike out, 14 Yankees, though? That was pretty damn good.
Yeah, they still lost the game somehow.
Yeah, but it shows that he still got it, so that's good news. I like that because I believed he could still have a lot of high K volume this year, and it looks like as long as he's healthy, that will still happen. Okay, so we'll move on from 2-star pitchers. That's pretty much it. A couple other quick ones that I like. Luis Garcia of the Houston Astros. He's sneaky. Even against the Yankees squad, which is heating up this past week, he struck out 8 4⅔.
That guy's got some good lettuce.
Yeah, he does. Fresh lettuce. Booger lettuce or weed. You ever play that game? Remember that game?
it's a classic. It's a great game. What is that? It's a booger?
Booger, no. Lettuce?
It's lettuce.
Or weed.
Oh, is that weed? Yes. What is it?
Yeah, I haven't played it in a long time. We're overdue for a game. You need a shitty house to live in, though, if you're going to play that game. Like a question, not like a total dump, but a kind of a shithole. JT Brubaker has got Cincinnati and San Francisco this week. I love him, but he's probably owned in a lot of places. Ryan Yerbaro.
Are the Giants playing every team this week? Every single two-start pitcher you've talked about is playing the Giants.
That's true. People are playing the Giants. You're right. Kyle Gibson of Texas. And then it looks like they're playing Texas and Pittsburgh this week, so that would make sense. Pittsburgh's doing the West Coast trip, heading out. No, they're not doing a West Coast trip. I'm an idiot. Never mind. I'm losing my train of thought here. Ryan Yarbrough's got the Yankees and the Mets. So if you want to do a Big Apple double dip with Ryan Yarbrough, who, I don't know, he kind of miffs me. I get confused. I don't know what to make of him at times, but he does get some wins. And then there is Denelson Lamet.
He's
at
back.
Colorado.
He's back. Pick up your
and
shares
against
now.
St. Louis. Yeah. We is it for real?
Colorado and St. Louis.
Is this for real?
I don't know, man.
No. I mean, come on.
He's pitched what? What did he pitch the other day? Two innings. Two innings against Pittsburgh. Gave up four hits. No strikeouts.
Yeah. Hey, do you know this guy, Chris?
Chris?
What Travis Bennett.
On?
Oh, he knows you.
What's going on? I don't know. Milk
what do you don't know? Come on. You're lying.
I don't know Travis Bennett.
Oh, well, he says, what's good, my baby boy? I told you I would tune
creepy.
In.
Oh,
he's tuning
God.
In.
What
my legs were literally shaking
on?
From the back rub you gave me last week. You were definitely worth the $50. What the hell is going on? Yeah, I don't know what's going on.
That's
here.
My wife. I hate giving any type of back rub or foot rub. Sorry, Travis. You're looking
wow,
for
that was rando.
Chris Deary, the journalist that lives in Canada.
Hey now, says Ryan. Yeah, that was fun. Jasper wants to know, I have Alejandro Kirk on all three of my teams this year. I'm hurting at catcher. Oh, that's just a general comment. Yes, you would be hurting at catcher. Mike Zunino, cheap pickup. He's probably going to play every day now if there's no Mejia, based on what I know. He's officially on the IL. So
yeah, another guy you can find out there is Yan Gomes for the Nationals. He's got three home runs in the last couple of weeks. Didn't strike out too many times. Only struck out three times. He's a guy who can give you a little bit of pop in a lineup that's pretty good. There's going to be guys on base when he comes up to bat. So he's a guy who could certainly be available. I got a fab bid in for him tonight because I am just destroyed at catcher. Mejia, Denard, like you name a catcher, and he is injured on my team.
Well done. Well done. That's a great point. Yeah, I saw Gomes was on a roll here the other day. I was like, oh, shit. Yan Gomes sighting. He can do that. He can get hot, make things happen. All right, so let's talk relief pitchers real quickly. You got Diego Castillo goes on the IL for Tampa. Pete Fairbanks was brought off the IL. So Pete Fairbanks is in play, but they also use Jeffrey Springs. It's always kind of a mess. We know how Tampa rolls, but these are guys who could give you saves. And if you're desperate for saves, Peter Fairbanks, Jeffrey Springs. I'll even throw Hunter Strickland in there, who's pitched pretty well for Tampa so far. Back from the dead, back from the great beyond.
Yeah, it's a carousel out there. I picked up Fairbanks in a couple of leagues. I also had him on my IL, and he came back. He pitched the eighth the other day. I think they were down when he came in, but you never know. They're not going to be a team that really commits to a closer. It seems like they had committed to Castillo, but now he's gone down. They're going to play the matchups and do what the Rays do, but there is some value. There's some guys that could certainly give you a nice strikeout rates and maybe pick up a save here or there.
Alex in the live stream says, I've got a $45 plus bid in for Garver in my 10-team two-catcher league with some cheap backups for Dom Nunez and Gomes. You're fully organized, Alex. That's well done. Garver's been, he's hitting the ball a little harder and looking like he could be slowly getting back to a little bit of that 2019 form. And Dom Nunez is a cheap way to hit home runs. He's got seven games this week, and if he plays four or five of those in Coors Field, I guarantee he'll hit at least one home run, maybe two.
That's a good pull right there.
Yeah. Good stuff. You're on the right track, Alex. But yeah, as far as relievers, you know, it's the same old tale. We're looking and throwing darts because there's so many options. I think I read in, rotofanatic.com, and I got to do a better job of this on the Sunday show of hyping this stuff up. Mike Carter does his closing remarks every Sunday, and it covers every damn bullpen in the league in detail. So he's giving you everything you need to know. And I believe at the start of his article this week, little teaser, 83 players have gotten a save now.
Wow.
In Major League Baseball. So
that's nuts.
I mean, who? Yeah. Well, this was as of Saturday night when he wrote the article. 83 different pitchers with saves have gotten saves. Yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah, you look at a guy like, you know, Hector Neris, who has six saves for the Phillies, but he's been so up and down. He threw like 48 pitches the other day.
Oh, geez.
Somehow walked away with the save. ended up pitching almost two innings. They brought him in the eighth. He got out of the eighth, went to a full count, I think, with every single batter. Then they gave him a couple days off, came back, I think, 3-4 days later, and they gave up two earned runs and a home run and a blow in the game against Atlanta. That Philly bullpen's interesting because I don't think Neris is going to be able to hold on to this job. He's a guy who comes in, he gives up hits every single time he comes in, and he like really works the count with guys, and you know, those, you know, his pitch count just keeps rising and rising. So keep an eye on what goes on with Philly. There's, you know, Coonrod's over there. They also got Alvarado, who I think has the best stuff. He just can't hone it and seems to throw too many balls. So keep an eye on what goes on there in Philly, because I'm not sure Neris is going to be able to hold on to this job forever.
Great stuff. Good points there. Check out Mike Carter's closing remarks in full if you want to get a breakdown of every single bullpen in Major League Baseball. It's all there at rotofanatic.com. And Dave Funnel's infirmary report gives you a breakdown of every single injury on all 30 teams. You need to know who's injured, who's coming back, and you need to know who's going to get the saves or holds in all 30 bullpens. RotoFanatic.com. All right, we've got a bunch of questions here lined up. Jay Bird wants to know, is Joey Votto a drop in NFBC leagues? It would depend how big it is. A 12-team? Yes. 15 team? Maybe. I don't. It's a thumb issue. That's never good, right? He could be out for a while. And even if he comes back, I know he's a veteran. He's savvy. But who's to say what we're going to get when he does come back?
Yeah, he's going to be 38 at some point near the end of the summer, early fall. The batting average is not there. It hasn't been there the last 4 or 5 years. What he's always been able to do is have a high OBP. You know, he's one of the, like, the career leaders in like walk percentage, which is nuts. But his walk percentage hasn't been very good this year, striking out a little more than he usually does. He does have 5 home runs, which is encouraging. You know, he was on pace to get double digits, but he has not been healthy the last couple of years. So, it's probably a drop depending on, you know, what else you have on your team and, you know, who else you could possibly stream out there.
He was crushing the shit out of the ball. All of his Statcast page looked mostly in the red, like elite. He was really hitting it hard. It was just a matter of getting the ball elevated enough to make it worth your while. So he started to do that, and I think there was a breakout brewing, which is just a damn shame that he got injured, because I think in that lineup, there was a lot of possibility for run production overall. So it's a sad day, Jay Bird. Jay, we feel for you. Looks like you're a Braves fan, though, so at least your team's good in real life. We're Tigers fans here, and our life sucks. So, 15-team auction championship. Yeah, I might. If you have a bench that could support just him, if you don't have other injured players that you're holding on to in a 15-team league like that, I think Votto would be worth holding on to for a little bit, because corner infielders can be hard to come by at times as well. But if you have other injured players, I don't know, like Strasburgs or other players that you don't want to drop that are filling up your roster, then I would say drop them.
That's fair.
Sam Jacobowitz in the house. Good to see you, Sam. Been a minute. I sort of overpaid for Luis Castillo just because there aren't any pitching options in my league, and I wanted one. He paid draft value. I traded Tim Anderson for him. I do believe Castillo will turn it around. You give up one of the best shortstops in baseball who can steal and hit for power and average for a guy who is lost right now. What do you think of that? Anderson or Castillo? Who would you rather have, dear?
It's Tim Anderson all day. Yeah, Castillo was a wreck again yesterday. Just home runs, walks, his velocity is down, which has been killing him because he can't throw his fastball as much. He's throwing his fastball 46% of the time right now. Obviously, he has an excellent changeup, which he's throwing 37% of the time, but he's not getting those strikeouts that he had gotten, you know, in previous years. He's been an absolute disaster. I believe he comes back a little bit. There's no way it can continue to be this bad. You know, and depending, you know, on the rest of your roster construction, you know, maybe you're hurting at pitching and you're trying to jump on a guy who's going to be able to turn it around. But I love Tim Anderson, top of the lineup with the White Sox. He's a 5-cat guy. So in your case, I really hope Castillo turns around. I have no shares of Castillo, but I am a fan of him. I know plenty of people that own him, and it's just been a mess here. He was really good in 19 and 20. And, I hope it starts to turn around here for him.
Well, Sam does say his career number shows he gets off to slow starts, especially in April and early May. True. So that's fair. I mean, he's not going to be this bad forever unless he's actually hurt or there's something that we don't know about. Otherwise, he'll probably figure it out at some point. But I just wouldn't give up Tim Anderson. I love Tim Anderson for so many reasons. When he's healthy, he can do it all like he did last night. And by the way, Jay Bird is a Tigers fan. He lives in Upper Peninsula of Michigan, dear. Look at, we found another Michigander. Welcome, Jay. He likes the Tigers. Woohoo! Yay! It's great to find you guys. If you're new to the show like Jay is, make sure you sub this channel. Click the dingy bell for notifications. We go live 3 times a week. Wednesdays, Fridays, and Sundays. Every Sunday night, we do this Fab Show at 7 p.m. Eastern Time for 50 minutes or so, and we answer all your questions. We give you guys opportunities. We give you information. We try to share as much as we can about streamers and Fab Bids and waiver wire pickups and who's got the best schedule. So we're here for you, and it's great to grow and learn from all of you. Thank you so much for being here. Sub our channel, Palazzo Podcast, 2 L's, and I think it's 2 Z's.
Utah.
It is.
Give me 2.
If you're very verified. Up in the UP, are you closer to Milwaukee or Detroit?
Yeah, I guess that would depend where he is in the UP. If he's on the eastern part, probably.
The UP is so far away. You know, I've never been to the UP. Lived in Michigan 40 years. I've never crossed over and gone to the UP.
Really?
Yeah.
I think I have.
The old Upper Peninsula.
I think the only time I did is when I needed to get pills, and I drove all the way around from Green Bay down to Detroit to pick up my pills, and I came back to Milwaukee. I think that's the only time I ever did that. But you're right. Otherwise, I never went to the UP.
So. What were you doing in Milwaukee?
I was working that job. I was working for Genzibar. Genzibar. Anybody know Genzibar out there?
Zanzibar.
Yeah, not Zanzibar. Genzibar. But Jacobowitz says, let's go back to the show here. He also sold high in Ohtani. That's ridiculous. That was a mistake. You should not sell high in Ohtani because he's an MVP candidate. Unless it was the pitcher.
You got to know what you got for him.
Trent Grisham and Sonny Gray.
You got a 2-for-1.
I just wouldn't do that. Ohtani gives you everything. We're talking the hitter. I assume we're talking the hitter because not the pitcher. I'm not talking about the pitcher.
God, the pitcher, though, is so like tantalizing. If he could just figure out not to walk guys. Oh, okay. Sue St. Marie. So it's not too crazy.
Thank you, Jay Bird. Yeah, but I just wouldn't do that. I love Ohtani, and he's going to give you steals. 30-30 season's really in play. I really think that. So we'll see. I guess we'll find out, Sam. Sam, I don't think you're a fool for doing it at all. I'm just saying personally, I would not trade Ohtani, the hitter. He is a stud, and the MVP season is kind of happening before our eyes. Right now, he is, isn't he like probably the MVP of the American League, or is there someone I'm missing? I mean, Trout's good, but Trout does what Trout
JD
does.
JD Martinez has slowed down a little bit. I mean, shit. I think Ohtani, it's going to be really hard to like take that MVP belt from him, especially if he continues to pitch. And like, he hasn't been giving up a lot of runs pitching. He's just been walking a lot of guys, but he's also striking guys out. Like, he's going to have some pretty magical starts over the summer for sure, because he's got unbelievable stuff.
Good points. Yeah, that's cool. I'm glad it was the hitter, and I'm glad that you decided to make your own moves. I think everybody should do what they think is best for their team, because we don't always know the context.
I think it's a decent trade. You're going to get some stolen bases from Grisham. I'm just kind of looking at Grisham's stats right now. He's got 6 stolen bases, batting close to .300.
Oh, yeah.
Sonny Gray, who's just now coming back, has looked pretty good so far. And you know what you're going to get from Sonny Gray? The last couple of years has been really good since he went over to Cincinnati. So, I mean, it's a 2-for-1. So I don't think it's a terrible trade at all. I think you're going to get value. As long as these guys stay healthy, I think you're going to get value coming back to you.
Absolutely. I agree with that 100%. All right, this is live, the Palazzo Podcast, on a Sunday evening doing the Fabulous Fab Show. We're talking waiver wire, streamers, and more. We talked 2 start pitchers. We briefly touched on relievers. Real quickly, I just want to cover any of these guys of interest to you. Mr. Rogers of the San Francisco Giants. Jake McGee's actually started to stink it up a bit, which I kind of lost track of. But Mr. Rogers, Tyler Rogers, that is, has been really good. Would you make the move for Rogers, dearie? Or do you think McGee will see this through because he was so good early on?
Oh, man. I don't know. I mean, the Giants are in this race. They're going to be in this race, and it's going to be going back and forth. Yeah. How old is Jake McGee now?
He's got to be like 33. I'll verify that. But he's older. He's an elder statesman.
Now, the big thing, my question with Rogers is 30 years old. He doesn't strike out a lot of guys, which, you know, is concerning for a guy who's going to be on the back end of the bullpen. A career 7.30 K per nine. That is not very good for a guy who's going to be back end of the bullpen. Now, you're not looking for him to be an Aroldis Chapman. He's certainly been serviceable so far this season. His ground ball percentage is amazing, 67%. So you want to certainly see that. And, you know, through 19 and a third innings, I think he's given up 2 runs, which is really, really good. We'll see what happens. I mean, it might be just kind of a shakeup where they go back and forth between the two.
Yeah.
I mean, Jake McGee has done this before, and he's been really solid before, but he's kind of been, you know, out of the mix the last few years, but he's back. So keep an eye on it. I think it's a nice speculative pickup. Certainly, you know, they might just be going with the hot hand. So I don't think it's a terrible pickup, but I can't really figure out which one of those guys that they're going to go with, you know, down the stretch here.
Ryan says he's a sub. Now, I don't know how you guys say this. Submariner? Submariner? Because there's this. Well, there's the Submariner. He's like a comic book character. So I don't know. I've heard it.
Oh, ways, okay. So.
But Submariner, that's how we would say it when we were growing up. I completely agree, Deary. Ryan says he's a Submariner, basically, though, which I guess is a negative thing. Is that bad? Is that bogus? Is that uncool? He can still get the job done. If anything, it baffles hitters, or maybe it doesn't. Maybe it serves right up in that low spot where people like it. So it
depends. No, you hate playing those guys like in MLB The Show, because like you never see him, and then you see him, you're like, what the hell? This guy's like throwing right at me. I don't know what to do.
Yeah, that's true. That does give you kind of a realistic perspective of it. Jay Bird wants to know, okay, Tigers, Grossman or Badu? Question mark.
It's not even a question.
I mean, Grossman's playing great. Yeah. He's stealing bags. He's hitting homers. He's getting opportunities. Yeah.
Grossman's done this before. He's starting to, the last week and a half, he's starting to put together the season on why the Tigers picked him up for 2 years. They thought, okay, this guy's a leadoff guy. He's going to be able to get on base. He's got some steal potential. I think he's got six steals on the year. He's been really good. Akil Badu, they're just stuck with him now. He's been an absolute mess. And we were excited for a couple weeks, but he's certainly come back to earth and maybe even below earth. He's like living down in hell right now. Robbie Grossman's a really nice pickup. If you can find him in a league, I think he's a good pickup. And the Tigers have been able to score. They did score 20 some odd runs against the Red Sox in that 3-game series.
They picked it up this week a little bit. They did. They beat the Twins. You know, the Twins are, hey, Twins, you only get so much time before you can turn your season around, and then it actually looks like a lost season. Your clock's ticking and your bullpen is fucking you hardcore right now. So come on, get it together. I'm rooting for the Twins. I don't know. I want them to do well. I mean,
yeah, the bullpen's a mess. They went out and, you know, picked up, you know, Colome, picked up Hansel Robles.
Robles is on the brink as the closer now. He could be the guy.
It's been a mess. And this has been their big issue the last few years. Obviously, Kenta Maeda hasn't been very good either. Barrios started out really well, and he's kind of been hit or miss the last few weeks. Michael Pineda's been really good for him. So that's been really good. But, you know, Byron Buxton's having like an amazing season, and now he's on the DL.
That's a good point. Oh, Ryan says, Govia, you need to get the Coach Orgeron Go Tigers soundbite. We do. You're right. Even though Orgeron. He means the LSU Tigers. You're right.
Tigers. Always make sure you cover your mouth when you cough.
Don't forget that. He did that during COVID. He was very helpful. Thanks, Coach O. He's a good guy. I will get that podcast dropped. Guaranteed, Ryan, by the next episode, it will be done. All right, we're running out of time here, so I want to cover a few more things before we go. Robles is in play as a possible closer in Minnesota, so that's not a joke. It's actually worth a quick flyer of a couple bucks if it's really cheap, or if it's just a waiver wire pickup and you got somebody you can drop, take a chance on Robles. Blake Treinen got a save for the Dodgers Saturday night. I always liked Treinen more than Corey Knebel in terms of supplanting Mr. Jansen in LA. So consider making a move on Treinen. It's worth a shot if he could do it cheaply. And then Colorado's a mess. Arizona's a mess. Both of those situations, I don't have an answer for. Do you have an answer for either of those bullpens?
No, I don't, especially Arizona. It's like, all right, Stephen Crichton's the guy. And then, like, he doesn't pitch in, like, five consecutive days. And it's like, okay, so get rid of him. There's probably, like, 10 to 13 bullpens where you just have no idea who they're going with. And, you know, guys are just getting blown up. There's very few bullpens where it's like, okay, ninth inning, Aroldis Chapman's coming in. Liam Hendricks is coming in. And then, of course, the injuries are just like, it's just nuts.
Yep.
Yeah, Kevin Ginkle, another guy who I really liked. I picked him up, and then he didn't pitch in like 6 days. I'm like, what is going on here?
Yeah, and the one time he did pitch, he got murdered. Yeah, so Ginkle has been a big disappointment. So many bullpen disappointments. This past week, there was guys that we all count on that destroyed us. Lou Trevino got destroyed in one outing. Yeah. Josh Stomont got destroyed in that one outing earlier this week. Just huge blowups that destroy your ratios, and it sucks.
It's making Craig Kimbrell look like a guy that is someone that you might want to go out and trade for, because he's been dependable, and you know he's gonna you know, closed the door here in the back end of the bullpen for the Cubs. I'm trying to get a trade put together. I have a decent bullpen, but I'm just trying to boost up my saves a little bit more because, I mean, I do have Liam Hendricks and Chapman, but it's been weird. Like, they don't always, like, the White Sox keep murdering people in this last week, so it's like Hendricks isn't getting the opportunity. The Cubs seem to play in a lot of really close games. They're a 500 ball club, and Kimbrel's been great, and he's got great strikeout ability right now.
That makes sense, and I'm actually down with that. The only question I have is, what if the party ends, and then you're like, shit, I'm stuck with this guy. I thought we were going to have some stability, and then that falls apart. I'm not saying that will happen. You just have to take your life in your own hands when you make these choices. They're up to you guys in the end. And if you want to take that risk, it's still a risk because Kimbrel is great right now, but he could fall apart just like any one of these damn relievers. I don't think, I mean, Ian Kennedy leads the American League in saves. He's just not a reliable pitcher though, but that's not going to last.
He's got 7-8 saves.
He's got 10, I think. He's got 10 saves. It's stupid.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. It just can't last. It can't last. I'm not buying that. It will last. But enjoy it while it can and sell at the right time. That's how you win your league. Sell high when it's right after you get a lot of value out of it. And then buy low on players like we talked about at the beginning of the show with that Soler and Dylan Moore trade. Buy low on these guys. They can't hit 200 all year. They can't hit one home run all year. It's just not going to happen. Those are the basic law of averages. All right, let's talk hitters real quick before we get out of here. Rowdy Tellez is getting a lot of run. People are getting excited about Rowdy. He's back up with the big league squad. Any interest in Mr. Tellez on that Blue Jay squad?
See, is he getting all the run right now at first base? Because I saw Springer went back to the DL.
Hey, what a shocker. George Springer back on the IL. It's hard to believe that something like that would happen, but it's true. Yes,
so
true.
Rowdy's getting some DH then.
Yeah, Rowdy's played the last three games. He hit a home run today, 2-for-4 against Houston in a loss. So
they need to bat him like right behind Grichuk, who's been really good. They should bat him sixth. Because you know who's been absolutely garbage this year is Kevin Biggio.
He did hit a home run over the weekend, though. I'm just saying.
He did get on base, I think, four times on Saturday, but he has been a mess. It's been a strikeout machine.
Brian K makes it in right before the show ends. Brian, thank you for being here. One of our, you know, our go-to. This guy's a hardcore fan of Palazzo Podcast as there ever was. He said, the dude still hasn't cooled off. I'm debating if I should get an Adolis Garcia tattoo on my lower spine. I think you should. I absolutely think you should. Right now. Do it. Right?
No, get a. You need to get a tattoo of Adolis Garcia's biceps.
Ryan
These
says,
biceps are nuts. These biceps are insane.
They are.
I've never seen anything like it.
You're still amazed by his roided out biceps.
I also think the party is going to end very soon.
Don't be a party pooper, though, dearie. Come on. Ryan says, Brian K, hit up Chris. He'll give you a back massage before the tap.
That's right. Yeah.
This is becoming part of the show now, dearie.
Come on down. Oh, did a bus hit another one today?
He's got 9 total. That's all I know. Wow. Brian K's loving it. I would sell high on that one. I guess he could have a first half of just 20 home runs. You're like, wow, because with all the power outages we've seen around baseball, it's kind of hard to dismiss what he's doing. But I agree with you. At some point, it'll just be strikeout fest. It'll go the Akil Badu route.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which, no offense to Akil Badu. We love Akil Badu here. Everybody knows that. But
I don't think that batting average can stick, you know, at 275. I think that comes back down to more of like a 230 to 240. But he's got power. I mean, the guy, if he can get the run to be in an everyday lineup, there's not, it's at this point, it doesn't seem like many guys are going to hit 30 home runs. And Adolis Garcia is well on his way to doing that.
Very good. Very good.
If you can live with the strikeouts, because those are going to be there.
Yeah, that's your call, guys. You have to live with yourselves every day. That's it. We got to wrap up the show. I got to do another show called the First Aid Podcast. It's about mental health and addiction and stuff, and it's really good for you. But we will be back on Wednesday. We have what day is this? The 9th. That's right. Not this week. No guests this week. I think we're back to just you and me this week. But we will have Alex Fast. He's going to be on the Spalzo Podcast the week after next.
Friday? Oh, the week after.
The May 19th show, I believe. So,
all right.
That's going to be fun. Exciting. It will be fun. Great. We've never had Alex on the Plaza Pod, so it'll that's be a milestone for us.
That's going to be a long show.
It certainly is. And I'm sure we'll have a few laughs. We'll learn a few things about baseball and ourselves. And we'll probably talk about the Baltimore Orioles. But in the meantime, we've got plenty of content for you. Don't forget to go to rotofanatic.com, read Closing Remarks. It's all about every single bullpen. And the infirmary report covers every injury on every team and who's coming back. If you're new to the show today, like Jay Bird, thank you so much. We got to know a fellow Michigander like Jay. Subscribe and hit the bell and be part of this three times a week, Sundays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. We do every show. We try to do it roughly around 7 p.m. each show, but sometimes it varies on the Friday show. But usually Sundays and Wednesdays, we do it at 7 p.m. Eastern time. And we're always there for you guys. You got questions, plazopodcast@protonmail.com is the email. You can also DM us on Twitter, plazopodcast, two L's, two Z's.
Utah. Give
That's
me two.
Where we are on Facebook. And, of course, this YouTube channel that you're watching right now. Deary is at CDeary1999. Deary as in dearly beloved, not as in the hoofed, antlered animal that crashes into your car once or twice a year. And I'm at MJ Govier, G-O-V as in Victor, I-E-R, on Twitter. Is that about covered, Deary?
Yeah, we're good to go. I'm excited for Wednesday.
Woohoo! All right, great. Everybody, best of luck with all your bids, all your waiver wires, all your streamers this week, and we'll catch you guys on Wednesday. Until then, Plazo Podcast. Keep your head up.
Boop, 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 boop.
Right, lads. Now, I know there's not a faint heart among you. And I know you're as anxious as I am to get into close action. But we must bring him right up beside us before we spring this trap. That will test our nerve. And discipline will count just as much as courage. The Acheron is a tough nut to crack. More than twice our guns, more than twice our numbers. And they will sell their lives dearly. They mean to take us as a prize. And we are worth more to them undamaged. Their greed will be their downfall. England is under threat of invasion. And though we be on the far side of the world, this ship is our home. This ship is England. So it's every hand to his rope or gun, quick's the word and sharp's the action. After all, surprise is on our side.